just women and men.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around terra firma. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, talk radio like nowhere else on earth, making mushrooms shrivel and muddleheads run for cover. You'll enjoy it. It's Wednesday, at least on this half of the planet. It's Wednesday. That's the middle of the week. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's kind of a high point for the week because they say, well, you know, once you get past Wednesday, it's a slide into the weekend. Well, I hope it was a great day for you. And I hope, actually, that every day is, but I hope you've had a great day today. And now you can sit back and relax all across this country from one side to the other and all across the world, all around the world. Now you can sit back and relax and enjoy the Kevin Smith Show. We have, for those of you who are brand new and you don't know about this, we have a free newsletter. Be sure you sign up for it. It is free. I mean, really, 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 really free. And no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Go over to my website and look for the link that says K-Files. And it's hard to miss. People do, but it's hard to do it because it's one of the largest links right in the middle of the page, staring you in the face as the page opens. But take a look and click it and subscribe. And then you'll get a confirmation email, and you have to click a link in there to acknowledge that you really meant to subscribe. And if you really meant to subscribe, then you really will start getting the K-Files. Our members area, well, you know, it just continues to improve. Things keep happening. Things keep moving. Nothing stays the same forever. And so it's we're under constant improvement in the members area. What already was a good value has become a really good value and then has become a great value at 23 cents a day. Now, think about it. I mean, there are people that get so miffed, and I get these. I got an email this week that was miffed because we didn't change a graphic when he thought we should, and he said, and for this you want me to send you $7 a month? I think not. Hey, look, if you're that chinchy, keep your dough, okay? We're surviving without it now. But for 23 cents a day, take that to the store, see what you can get for 23 cents a day. 23 cents a day. You waste more than 23 cents a day. You throw away more than 23 cents a day. And that's what it costs to get in on all the goodies in our members area. And we invite you to join those who are truly in the know. And the way you do that is become a member at Kevin Smith Show. Now, you don't have to be a member to listen to the show. It's free to listen. Always has been. But, you know, you could be watching the show. And, you know, you could get in on these special broadcasts that we do that are just in the members area. 23 cents. Plus, you get our archives, forums, chat, lots and lots of other stuff. We'll be back with Joe Montaldo right after this. Some of of the music used on this broadcast is provided by the independent artists at music.podshow.com.
General Manager of Indy 104 and iRadio LA. You can now hear The Kevin Smith Show 7 days a week. The Kevin Smith Show live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, and the best of The Kevin Smith Show Saturdays and Sundays, 8 to 9:30 p.m. Pacific, only on Indy 104 and iRadio LA. Go to Indy104.com for more information. 7 days of Kevin Smith, you can never get enough.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Joe Montaldo. He certainly is no stranger to you. Those of you who have been listening to this show for any length of time know Joe Montaldo because he's been on the show a number of times over a number of years, and we're delighted to have him back with us again this evening. Joe, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always my pleasure to come on.
Some people know you as a broadcaster. Some people know you as the director of ICAR, and then some people know you as both. And tonight you're here primarily as director of ICAR because of some really very interesting material that you sent to me regarding the blood types and bloodlines and so forth, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but explain to folks, what is ICAR?
Well, ICAR is the International Community for Alien Research. It is now the largest UFO abduction organization on the planet by far. There's no organizations that do this any larger anywhere in the world. It's an interesting place to be. It was originally designed to collect data and be a support group for contactees and abductees. Since then, of course, it's grown quite considerably. We're actually got our hands into everything. We do leave the real UFO chasing to organizations like MUFON and some of the others. Like when Cliff was on last night, we do leave it to that because, frankly, we want to commit all of our time to abduction research. So we actually categorize abductees and contactees. We have abduction criteria now for abductees and contactees so we can tell who's lying and who's telling the truth. What we do is we're here, we're an abduction organization. We're an organization that was designed and built for contactees, for their support, for their research, and a place that they can come in and basically have a safe zone to find out what's happening to them and what's not. And in all honesty, too, most people who contact us are actually not contactees. Probably 30% of what actually contact us turn out to be contactees. But still, we get a lot of people that contact us. But that's basically what we are. We're a support group and research organization that now assimilates. And of course, ICAR actually formed Paranormal Radio Network for the so that we could put the data out. So we didn't have to wait to get on people's radio shows to put the data out. We could do it ourselves. So in a kind of weird sense of the way, the Paranormal Radio Network, which is actually bigger than ICAR, it actually belongs to ICAR itself. It's our own media venue to get our information out to the general public. So the two of them work really well together now. As you know, we got a bunch of our hosts actually work for the organization, so they're out posting their information on a weekly or daily basis, depending on what their shows do. So that information is being assimilated. Of course, we bring everybody on in the field and research on when you've been on yourself, and we discuss what the latest things are across the board. So you have the organization, which is funding, writing, and finding the data and putting it out, you know, through its own website and its own media organization, and then bringing on our fellow radio show hosts and our fellow abduction researchers and ufology friends to examine the data. So you really can't ask for a better setup. It's just well designed, and it's really designed to cut through the, how can I say this politely, the BS of ufology. That's really what it's all designed for, because you know, Kevin, if you're new to the field and you're searching the Internet, your brain is going, what the blink did I just get into? Because there's too much data, and too much of it, unfortunately, is fraudulent data. You know, I was talking about that a little while ago, about all the new videos out on YouTube. They got some great videos out come out. A lady sent me that one from France. I love that video, but it's obviously fake. It's good. And that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to kind of defend against these days. But I know you got to deal with it too. So.
Well, on the one hand, you have that to deal with. On the other hand, you have people who are real acid brains that you have to deal with. And what I'm talking about are, for instance, if you go to YouTube or Google Video or Disclosed TV or any of these places that have a lot of videos having to do with UFOs, it may be a video of a UFO or it may be a video where someone is talking about UFOs, but it has something to do with that. You get down into the comments, and it is absolutely populated with acid brains. Real acid brains. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a sickness. I think they think they're cute. They think they're smart. You know, they just leave these really acidic comments. And like there's some kind of pro, and really what you probably are dealing with in most cases, you're dealing with a couple of different kinds of people that are acid brains. One is the guy that's 60 years old and he still lives with his mama. He always has lived with his mama. And, you know, he's not somebody that, if he walked out on the street and you said, boo, he'd have to go to the dry cleaners and get his clothes cleaned.
Oh, yeah.
The other type is, you know, these frustrated pseudo-intellectuals. And they just think they know everything. And, because they didn't think of it, it could not possibly be true. And the truth is, these are people that are really stuck, and they don't. There's no way that they're going to progress with their company. Wherever they work, they're stuck. You know, they think they should be the CEO, and instead they're working in the mailroom, and they've been there for 40 years. And that's who the acid heads are.
And there's a lot of them out there. You got them, and then you got the sheeples that just kind of follow whatever trend happens to be going.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the school of fish swimming. If something goes left, they go left. If one goes right, they all go right. It's just the damnedest thing to have to deal with. And the Internet's a big place. But all in all, I mean, like Facebook, I was very reluctant to get on Facebook. I was like, oh, man, it's another blankety-blank thing I'm going to have to deal with. And it actually turned out quite well for me. You know, we got about 20, 25,000 friends over there now, and it does really nice. And most of the people I meet are nice. I get at least one person a day that calls me something I can't say on radio. But most of the time I get either people looking for help, wanting help, or, you know, once or twice a week somebody will write me and tell me thanks for all the hard work and thanks for the organization and thanks for, you know the people over at iCorp for taking the time to talk to them and listening to them. And that always makes me feel great. That actually makes it worth the while because of the amount of money I spend on this. I'm surprised I'm not divorced.
You're not getting rich off of this?
Oh, no. In all fairness, I could probably push to get a little more money out of it, but, you know, at this point, it doesn't need to be. Now, you know, down the line, when I get ready to retire, I might, you know, put up some more donations and maybe charge a little bit for this or that, and that way I can keep doing it. But right now, on average, to be truthful, the station cost me, I shouldn't say this on air, about $2,600 a month, and iCar on a bad month cost me about $500. I've been doing this for, you know, the organization's been 10 years now. And that's not including, like, there's a couple of years that I was doing a lot of traveling, doing a lot of promoting. You know how it is. You got to go to the different conferences to make friends with the different ufologists and, you know, give you example. I went to Laughlin the year after Katrina. Been about 8 G's down there, 9 G's, you know, and went to a couple other conferences. Probably spent about $25,000-$30,000 on conferences that year, and which I shouldn't have, but, you know, you got to get established, and it's just part of being in the field. And I just don't think most people realize that people like you and I are actually taking a lot of money out of pocket. It'd be nice to recoup some of it, but it's not something I don't think that we could, you know. In all fairness, now, I got to say, there is money in ufology for a few people, but not.
Well, a very, very few.
Yeah.
Most everyone you and I know are either dead broke or right on the verge of it.
Yeah, I can only think of three right now that make a decent living, and they're all good guys, Stanton Friedman, Richard Dolan, and Peter Robbins, and they speak a lot, and, you know, more so than anybody else I know. And other than that, maybe some people over at MUFON, I can't really think anymore, maybe six or seven total. And that's it. And then now, don't get me wrong, there's 10 or 20 out there that are trying to make money, probably getting a little bit, that have no business being in this so shape, form, or ever. It's one of those things that it just drives me crazy. Because I'm always seeing something for sale. Somebody's buy this, buy that, come buy this, come do that. You know, I can understand things like organizations that need to support themselves, radio shows and radio stations that need to support themselves, video things. I understand it because none of this is free. You know, but the ones out there that write some crazy book that you know is a crazy book and goes around selling it to, you know, $20 a pop to 10, 15,000 people, you got to go, what the hell? Don't buy the book. Don't buy the book. But, you know, what can you do? There's too many dumb people on the planet. Y'all, I didn't say that. Y'all didn't hear that. Listen, I am hypnotizing the audience. You did not hear me say dumb people.
Okay. Well, one of the problems that you've always had on the show is you've never been able, when you're on my show, to say, you've never been able to just come out and say what you really think.
That's not something I got to worry about on your show. Just other shows where I got to behave myself. You're nice. You're a good host. You let me have a little freedom to move around.
Well, I believe in freedom, Joan. Let's talk about this research that you've been doing on the blood types and the bloodlines as related to abductions. You sent me an email that had a pretty amazing chart in it, correlating various blood types with the percentage of people who are abducted that have that blood type. What's all that about?
Well, it all started over about a decade ago. We started noticing trends in Rh negative and certain colored eye contact Ds. And it was, at the time, it was just, you know, we knew it was more, but we didn't have any physical data to back it up. So a few months ago, a couple of my directors suggested, I'm going to say that politely because that's not actually what they did, but we'll just say they suggested that we go collect the data to back up what we were saying, which is a very good point in this field. And so we set out, and a couple of us started looking through what we have on the iCar website and some of the other stuff that we have, you know, stored on laptops and some of the questionnaires that came in that November Hansen's working on and things like that. And then a couple other forums where we found other blood types going on, even contacted MUFON. And then we also used MUFON's forum to look, because there was a study going on there. And I was put in touch with a gentleman out of Brazil and another gentleman out of Argentina, which all had a couple hundred. But anyway, it got up to about 1,400 contactees that mostly were verifiable. At least 1,000 of them, we can verify who they are, what they are, and you know, that they are contactees. But out of that instantly came, we started seeing a big-time trend. Rh negative was making the majority of the contactees up, which, you know, at first I was like, man, you know, Rh negative, you know, it's a mutation popped up on the scene 25, 35,000 years ago. You know, there's a lot of talk about alien intervention in those times in the last, you know, 50,000 or so years. So it started to be more than a coincidence. And I'm like, well, we got to look into it more. We've got to definitely look into it more. Then we started noticing big-time trends in the overall Rh negative. It makes up 56% of the contactees are Rh negative. Well, only 15% of the world is Rh negative. So that's a big shift. And what's really funny about that is almost half of them, about 36 or 38% of them, are O negative. And what's significant about that is O negative is the only universal donor on the planet. They can take nobody's blood but their own, but they can give blood to all the rest of the blood types. It's a very significant thing in itself. It's definitely a mutation that happened between 25 and 35,000 years ago. And it's a mutation that, in today's society, literally saves thousands of lives. Because O negative, you know, blood is what you want. And it's the most sought after out of all the blood types. Because even AB negative can take O negative. But O negative can only take O negative. Well, we also noticed while we were doing this study that a lot of those people turned out to either have green or hazel eyes, which coincidentally is another mutation. So you have the Rh negative blood and the eye color now are both mutations.
When did the blue or hazel eye mutation enter the human race?
Around the same time as the Rh negative, they say about 25, 35,000 years ago. There's some fundamental shift. Now, the only thing I can think of, there's a lot of stories where the Sumerians say, you know, the human aliens were here and breeding with them, but they say that the reptilians intervened at that time and started breeding with the other race that was there. And we're actually what supposedly came from that. Well, that might have been where that blood and eye color came from. It might have came from them. Because a lot of contactees say that reptilians have a greenish or a yellowish color eye. That may have been where the mutations actually came from. But there's no way to know that, you know, for sure. It's all speculation other than the fact that we know, you know, humans have a reptilian section in their brain. All the rest of it is speculation. But it is around the same time frame, the 25 to 35,000 years ago. So now you have three coincidences. You've got the reptilians supposedly, according to Sumerians, breeding with them. You've got the green eyes and the O negative, or I should say Rh negative, all popping up between 25 and 35,000 years ago. You're getting a little weird there. You're getting a little too many coincidences. And so, you know, it's starting to look more and more like one of these races, maybe it was the humans, maybe it was the reptilians, one of these races look like they actually intervened into our blood system. They actually changed it. Because what most people don't realize, before 25,000 years ago, there was no Rh negative, nothing. It was all positive. There was no Rh negative anywhere. And the other significant part about it is, you know, most people don't realize their Rh stands for Rhesus. That you know, the positive bloods are actually what are found in the rhesus monkey. That's where the Rh comes from. O negative is not. It's not related. It doesn't have the same characteristics as a rhesus monkey. So it's an entirely different strain on its own. So it's a very significant find, and to find that the majority of the contactees are that blood type is very significant. It really does look like not only did the aliens intervene, but they've been watching and matching and following where this is going in our society, because that's the people they're picking up the most. Now, I know I've just seen something go by on my screen because the virtual auditorium's open, but no, guys, I'm not saying if you're positive that you're not a contactee. Don't mistake this. That's not what we're saying. You can have brown eyes and be O positive, A positive, and still be a contactee. It just seems like the overall majority happen to be Rh negative and green or blue eyed. It's something we're working on steady. But also in recent studies, now these aren't ICAR studies. These I'm quoting from a couple other sources, but there's been a couple of sources that where they have taken Rh positive and Rh negative people and have done psychic test on them, and the Rh negative score much higher than the Rh positive. That's something we're going to upcoming. We're going to be doing with a group of contactees to see if there's any difference among contactees, and if there isn't, then we'll take the contactees and put them against normal people.
Okay, Joe, we have to step away for a break. It's on us, and within seconds. And I don't want us to get into your explanation of what you're going to be doing to compare them with, I believe you said, normal people. I don't want us to get into that until we come back, because I don't want you to be cut off. All right, we'll be back with Joe Montaldo on the other side of this, so don't go away. Some of the music used here on The Kevin Smith Show comes from the great independent artists at GarageBand.com. Go to GarageBand.com and check out the fabulous selection they have of great independent music by great independent artists. GarageBand.com. Check it out.
Coming soon. I heard the music, it's been playing to death. Everybody.
right, we are back, and we are talking to Joe Montaldo. He is the director of ICAR, and we're talking about this pretty amazing, I don't know, I guess we could call it discovery that they've made in their research about the correlation, or at least the percentages, of the number of people who are abductees or contactees. What percentage of them have Rh negative blood and are blue or green eyed or hazel eyes? And Joe, when we went away for break, you said that you're planning some kind of an experiment, I think, with people that are Rh negative, and then I think you said comparing them with normal people.
Yeah, I shouldn't have used that normal word. Okay, y'all, don't take it the wrong way, y'all people out there. We're all normal, I guess. But what we're going to do is we're going to do psychic ability tests. We kind of sort of play around with it inside the organization with our contactees, because one of the things we learned early on is all contactees are empathic, and most of them are telepathic in some shape, form, or fashion. And every now and then you run one across that has telekinesis, but we want to test this against the reason I said normal, I'm talking about the non-contactee portion of the population. A lot of my fellow researchers seem to think that everyone on the planet has psychic abilities. I tend to disagree with it. It's not that I don't think they couldn't be developed in every human, because we're basically the same. It's just, I think in the contactee portion, it's all of them have it. It's not something, you know, it's we use as criteria, a matter of fact. You have to be empathic to even be considered to be a contactee. It's one of the things we look for. So we want to take that and we want to test it against the non-contactees and see, you know, does any of the non-contactees have these abilities? And if they do, to what levels do they have these abilities? We're trying to establish a line, and we want to use, and first thing we're going to do is Rh negative versus Rh positive inside the contactee group to see if there's any difference at all. And if there's not, then we'll test it against the outside non-contactee population, both in Rh negative and in Rh positive, to see if there's differences there. And in the shape and form, it's kind of already started. But it'll be ongoing for probably 4 or 5 more months. Maybe not quite that long, but 3.5, 4 months. And then I'll probably send you a letter when I get it up and get it finished. But being that I've been doing this as long as I have, I've got a lot of friends that are not contactees and don't have any psychic abilities. I mean, they're not even psychic enough if the fly was buttered around the head to slap it. So, I mean, it's just not there. And I don't want to pick on people, because it's not that I don't think you could develop, and I just don't think the average everyday person, especially in today's society, even realizes they did have it, that they would have it. So I do think it's a prominent thing amongst the contactees, and it's probably pretty much a contactee, one of the things that the aliens are dealing with the contactees. And, of course, knowing that the aliens are telepathic, and every time an abductee gets abducted, they're communicating telepathically, they're probably much more susceptible, much more prone to using it, and really understanding what it is that they're seeing.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that you said that all contactees, all abductees, are empathic and some telepathic? Do you think that this is it because of the Rh negative blood, or is it because of the contact with the aliens?
I really think it's more to do with the aliens. I don't. It's the studies I've seen in the past suggest that the Rh negative have better abilities than Rh positive, but we're going to test that, so we're not sure mm-hmm. if it's true or not. I'm going by 4 of the organization's findings, but that is what they found. I do think that both Rh and Rh negative and Rh positive contactees possess these abilities in abundance. I don't think it's so much blood as it is their direct contact with the alien. Maybe it's true that the Rh negative maybe can pick up this faster. Might be someone with a higher, like someone with a higher IQ may catch on to something faster. But other than that, I don't think there's any real difference. But it may be that we may find that these Rh positives, in some shape, I'll give an example. A lady I was talking to just this morning. She's O positive, brown eye, but her mother was O negative, green eye. So it suggests that's her lineage.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know how many of these Rh positives actually came from negatives to start off with. So those abilities would already be prominent there any way it goes. It gets a little sticky and it gets a little crazy, but it is something we're going to follow closely and tightly and see where it takes us, because there's definitely a reason why there's an overwhelming number of Rh negative contacts, these versus Rh positive, especially since the population is 15% Rh negative. And like I said, with the O negative, which makes up 38% of the, or 36% of the contactee group, there's only 7% worldwide.
7%?
7%. That's all they make up worldwide, is 7% of the population. So, I mean, this is a significant find. You know, somebody asked me, well, what's it mean? Well, we're working on what it actually means. But it does show for the first time in abduction research that there is something going on, and we can track it through our DNA and through our blood, and the aliens are interested in what's in our blood. It definitely proves that they're interested in something in our blood, or it wouldn't be that much higher of a ratio. It would be like the regular, because everywhere else in abduction research you find it kind of goes with the area, the per capita. You know, if it's 80% white, 20% black, that's about your ratio in contactees. If it's 50% female, 50% male, that's about your ratio in contactees. So in every other aspect of this, they pretty much go to the demographics of the area, with the exception of the blood types. The blood types seem to be something that they're much more interested in. And it really does seem like to me that they're actually tracking what these blood types are doing, where they're going, and how they're interacting and interbreeding with the regular normal population. They have an interest in this. It's just, you know, part of me wants to say it's to help enlighten the species, and I don't mean in a spiritual way, but in a psychic way or in a physically psychic way, you know, some kind of telekinesis or telepathic abilities. Because honestly, I mean, I don't think our society is completely ready to be telepaths yet, but let's be honest, Kevin, if we were all telepaths, eventually we'd have a much better planet to live on. There wouldn't be all this BS every time the president or some idiot steps on the TV and starts lying to us. We'd be going, no. The whole planet would be going, no, you're lying. Just sit down.
Well, if the whole planet was telepathic, how many people that are elected now do you think would be able to be elected then?
Well, okay, I shouldn't say none. Maybe one or two, but I want to say none. I've got to be honest with you, Kevin. I want to say none. The core being says, no, ain't none of them SOBs need to be out there. But
all right. Now, we've got 36% of the contactees are Rh negative, O negative, right?
O negative, O negative.
36% are O negative. 7% of the world's population is O negative.
Is O negative.
That would mean that a very high percentage of O negative people are contactees, and perhaps, you know, because almost every agency that does work where they rely on people to report things to them, mm-hmm. almost every agency like that, like ICAR, will tell you that this is underreported. That for every one person that reports having been contacted or abducted, maybe there are 10 or 15 that did not. So the percentage actually could be a lot higher.
And then you've got the thing, you know, we've talked about this before, but probably only 1 in 1,000 even know they've been abducted. And out of that 1 in 1,000, probably only one of them will ever even come forward. It's not a subject matter you really want to broach unless you're, like, independently wealthy or have your own career that is not going to be affected by this. I mean, I've lost a job over this, you know, when I was younger. Now I own my own business, so they can bite me. But, you know, I actually lost a job over it. I was discussing with one of my employees about Jesus maybe was an astronaut or something, and I got canned. And I was a GM, too, big, getting big money from these people. And they came in, and the very next, this is how it worked, Kevin. On Wednesday, I had just gotten a raise, right? Just brand new, beautiful raise, telling me how much they love me. Thursday, I had the discussion. Friday morning, they walked in, no notice, no nothing, said, we got to let you go. We're giving you 1 month severance. You're going to have an excellent, anybody calls, we're going to give you an excellent reference. You can call today, still give me an excellent reference. And never told me why they let me go. And I should have sued them, but I just let it go. And I talked to one of the managers after I'd been gone about a year, and he told me it was over that one conversation. Because they were very, the guys who owned the organization, the company, were very, very religious. And I guess they took it out of context. You know, I said, maybe, I didn't say for sure. But so, you know, I know what it is to be out there doing this when you're talking about it. But, you know, now I'm my own business and I don't have to worry about it. And most of my customers know I do this, so they don't, as long as they get a good price, they don't care what I'm talking about on the air.
Well, another thing, we do live in a little bit different culture now, and people are a little bit more open to this. Because, I mean, they're finding out that they've been duped by the debunkers. They've been duped by the government. They know that, and they're just not buying the spin anymore. And, you know, people openly mock the spin doctors on this now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I would hate to be Bill Nye, the alleged science guy. I'd hate to get up in the morning and know I had to carry myself around in public.
Well, you know, we've talked to many people on my show. He won't come on. No, he's been asked. He won't come on. But I've had, you know, big-time physicists on the show. They come on, no problem. And they're willing to discuss aliens and UFOs and things like that. You know, when Tyson came, when I was surprised, because, you know, being a curator for the New York Museum, I was really surprised that he agreed to come on the show. But he came on, and he had no problem talking about that. Michio Kaku came on. We actually had a really excellent conversation.
He's fun, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, what was nice about it is we did the Step and Done thing, and I've heard him now on Nova twice and on two other programs quoting what I was talking about. I'm like, all right, Michio, you're going to use my material. Quote me. You can tell him who it is, man. Come on. But he's a great guy. I had a blast with him. And he got into it. He got into the meat and potatoes of physics and how we could do this and, you know, what it would take. And it was more to convince people that you didn't need faster than light travel to explore the universe, which he made a very good argument for. Of course, he made a good argument for faster than light travel, too. So,
I found him to be a lot of fun because he's two things that you don't find very often in the same person. He's excessively intelligent. That's one thing.
He's brilliant.
And the other thing is he's excessively open-minded. And you don't find that combination so often.
Yeah, and I never have approached Hawkins about coming on. I guess I could send him an email. I doubt he would do it. But I've just been pleasantly surprised by the hardcore physicists that will actually get into the subject and talk about it.
All right. So, what about what kind of response are you getting from the science community on your research with the blood types?
So far, not much. I haven't got. I got to say, I've had a few people write in that, or actually doctors, or, you know, regular doctors, and they actually find it fascinating. They're, of course, now I have a couple of psychologists that have written to me and asked me if I would be willing to provide some of these people for a lot of psychological studies, and maybe, you know, because they're thinking maybe it's something in the blood that's making these people think that they're being abducted.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't explain the R positives. You know, I'm like, no, guys, that's not how it is. Well, it's like if you take the AB negatives. That's 1% of the world's population, but makes up 10% of the contactees. You know,
that is significant. All right, we've got a break coming up here in about 10 seconds. And so we're going to step away. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking this evening with Joe Montaldo. He is the director of ICAR, and he is a broadcaster. And as you have been able to hear, he has a great deal of difficulty saying what's really on his mind. We're going to try and help him through that here this evening. We'll be back right after this. Kevin Smith Show comes from the great independent artists at GarageBand.com. Go to GarageBand.com and check out the fabulous selection they have of great independent music by great independent artists. GarageBand.com. Check it out. Thank you. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest, Joe Montaldo. Joe is director of ICAR, and this is an organization that provides support for, it's a support organization for people who have been abducted or they are contactees, but they also investigate and research into the whole phenomena of abductions and contacts with extraterrestrials. Joe, how long have you personally been involved in this kind of investigation?
Oh, Lord, I shouldn't even admit to that. Almost 27 and a half years. I've been running ICAR for, 10 years I've been running ICAR for as international director. And actually, I started as national director, but I'm international director now. And then about 17 years before that, I actually worked for MUFON for a long time. I was with MUFON until shortly after Walt Andrews left, when John Slusser took over.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Are you personally convinced today that extraterrestrial, intelligent extraterrestrial beings are actually visiting this Earth? And if you are convinced, has this been a progression towards being convinced?
Yes and yes, because when I got to be honest, I had a lot of weird stuff happen to me as kids, but besides that, when I started looking into this, the person who told me they were contacted, he was like, you've lost your mind. I knew the person. I knew they were bright, intelligent, hardworking, career-minded, high IQ, but I was like, nah, there's no way. It can't be possible. And it did. It took, I want to say, I think it was 20 at the time, 19, and it took about 10 years to really sink into my head what was going on. I knew, like, the Foo Fighters and stuff like that was really good evidence to suggest that there was something weird going on, but it took a good 10 years of interviewing abductees and doing UFO research before I realized, oh, yeah, we're being visited, and there's that.
So you're absolutely convinced of it now?
Yeah, there's not even a shadow of a doubt in my mind now, not even a little bit.
Okay.
And it's all based on evidence. I could say personal experiences, but that's not what I based them on. I always, leave that out of the picture.
All right. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Jeff, I'm going to preface this by saying that so far as I know, I'm not a contactee, even though most of the stuff you've talked about, all negative blood, green eyes, low body temperature, low blood pressure, all that stuff applies. Now, what I'd like to know, you mentioned that you were fired from your job, mm-hmm. and that you didn't want to make a big deal of it.
Yeah.
That's a quality. I would be interested in knowing how many contactees will let stuff slide because they don't want to make a big deal of it and don't want to deal with the stress of it.
A lot more than we should even admit to, but a lot. Contactees in general tend to be a little nicer, a little more agreeable. They don't seem to be as aggressive. They can be aggressive. Don't get me wrong now. They don't seem to be as aggressive as a normal population, but they can be. And in some ways, it can even be cooler because for contactees especially, and this is another way you can tell if you're an abductee or a contactee, and if you don't fit in the normal population and you don't have any real regard for the normal population, as in it doesn't matter if they live or die, more than likely you're an abductee.
Now, why would you say more than likely you're an abductee instead of more than likely you're a sociopath?
Because contactees have a disassociation with the rest of society. It's not anything bad. It's not like they hate him or anything like that. It's almost like they know instinctively that sooner or later that two-thirds of the population is no longer going to exist. It's almost like they know ahead of time. It's they don't go out of the way to be mean or anything like that, but they tend to associate inside their own groups, and they tend not to really have any regard as far as, they're not going to hurt anybody, and they help people if they can, but it's hard to explain. You have a sense for your friend or your family, your mother or somebody that you don't want to see them die, you don't want to see them get hurt. Most of us have a sense for humanity. We don't want to see people, but it's almost like the contactees know that this segment of the population is not going to make it. And it's like they're being conditioned to realize it. Go from generation to generation. It's one of the things that worries me the most out of all the research we do is that nonchalant, that attitude about, well, they're just normal.
Okay, Brent, did you have another comment or question?
Called being slightly asocial. Not antisocial, but asocial. I agree with you. I wish I could remember whatever it is that makes me this way. Goodbye.
Well, I'll tell you this. 99 and 9/10% of all contactees will never know they were abducted, ever. They will live and die without ever knowing. That's 99% of the abduction population. We have no doubt that only a handful come forward, and a lot of them, it even seems like the aliens are pushing forward. That a lot of my fellow abductees and contactees call themselves communicators, that they're actually out, for lack of a better way of saying this, preaching the alien gospel. Well, I shouldn't have said it that way, but it's a metaphor, guys. It is what it is. They do seem to be out there doing it. So, and then there's a percentage that doesn't want to be known. They want to talk to someone like me or some of the other investigators or experiences about it, but they don't want to be known. But the rest of them will never know. They'll always sense something. They'll know something's not quite right or they don't quite fit. It'll never be enough to just ray their life or anything, but it'll always leave them kind of slightly off one way or another to the rest of the population. And you know, it's just how it is.
All right, we need to go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Vancouver.
Hi. I'd like to ask your guest, how much is mind control a part of this whole phenomenon?
Well, that's another one that is more than we want to admit to. In MILADS, military abductees, that actually plays a big percentage, a big percentage. In normal, everyday abductees, not so much. Well, let me rephrase that. Not so much from the government side, but more from the alien side. there is always some psychic ability or some type of scanning or something that the aliens do to try to keep you along what they're looking for you to do or what you're involved with in the experiment. So there is some mind control in that fashion. But as far as going out and speaking about it or dealing with it or messing with it, no, not so much there. But the government does it a lot. But even they can only do it in limited fashion. And I tell this to my conspiracy friends all the time. If the government had as good as mind control ability as the conspiracy people would want you to think, China and Russia would not only not be a threat, but they would now be part of the United States. So you can kind of rule it out. It's not quite as good as everybody would like us to think it is. Don't get me wrong. They've got good agencies that do a lot of work and can get into a lot of things, but it's not like the naysayers would want you to think it is. It's not quite that advanced yet.
The reason I asked is, the reason I asked that question is if mind control was significant, then you might be able to associate it with blood types to see which types might be more suggestible compared with others. That's sort of what I was wondering about.
We can check it with the military abduction group because we know who they all are inside the organization. So I can actually put that to the test with that particular group and see if any one is more acceptable to it than the others. I would think, though, if you go by the studies that show that the Rh negative or the contactee groups are much more telepathic and much more psychic than the rest of the general population, I think it's going to be harder to mind control people like that. It's going to be harder since it's going to be, first, it's going to be harder to trick them because they're going to be used to their minds being things being in their minds. And secondly, they're going to be somewhat resistant to it, especially if they're an older contactee that's been experiencing this all their life. They're going to probably be quite a bit more resistant to it than your average person. So I would think contactees versus non-contactees, it would be a lot harder to mind control them, except for maybe the grays. And I notice even the reptilians and the humans have a hard time with mind control.
The reptilians and who?
The human race, the human-alien race, because they do tend to have contactees that go off half-cocked sometimes. So I think even they don't have quite the mind control abilities that we give them. But they have damn good ones, to say the least.
Yeah. All right, John, you have another question or comment?
What you're suggesting then is the Rh negative is more resistant to that type of programming or that kind of thing.
It probably is, because the Rh negative probably came to us via one of the alien races, and that's probably the only reason that it's more resistant. People have tried to turn this into more than what it is, but I really think that's what it is. I think the Rh negative was probably given to us by one of the aliens, whether indirectly or directly. And it probably does allow the contactees to have slightly better abilities and slightly more resistant to it. But, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, because, I have both positive and negatives in our group, and it doesn't seem to be that much difference between their overall abilities, I guess is what I'm trying to stress. There is some, but it doesn't seem to be as big as what it's going to be made out to be, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, John, thank you for the call. Interesting question. And, the idea that maybe one blood type is more susceptible to suggestion and maybe another is more resistant. Interesting. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My first name is Snake Man, and my second name is Jeff, and I'm calling from Montreal. Good to speak with you this evening, Kevin. Thanks for taking the call.
Certainly, Jeff.
Mr. Montaldo, I just wanted to ask you first, what is your opinion about the death of Professor John Mack and what his work was all about?
I hate to say this on air because I hate to get gossip started, but I've always had such a hard time with the way he went, killed by a drunk driver in London. It's not that it's beyond possibility, and it's probably what happened. And if it is, it was a terrible waste of a life that really did make a difference in the field. A lot of ICAR's data, original data, was based on his work. A lot of the stuff that for me, him and Bud Hopkins and a few others were like stepping stones. They kind of did the groundwork and the layout work for me to have a solid foundation to step on and really move forward. It basically, what it did for me is cut out 20 years of research that I didn't have to do because it was already done. But the reason I said that about him in the beginning was I've been threatened more than once. I know other people have been threatened more than once. And one of their favorite things is, and this is actually a quote, we could arrange for you to be run over by a drunk driver or run off the highway by an 18-wheeler and no one would ever think anything but an accident. And they're right. It is a dangerous field if you do get into the wrong areas. That you are monitored. I have never done a radio show in the 9 years I've been doing radio that it wasn't an open line going to it. There's a little light on my phone, even right now talking to Kevin, there's a little light on my phone that if there's another line connected to the phone, there's an open line. There's someone listening other than the two of us. There's someone else on the line. And it's always been like that. I've even been told by other people that the network is like one-stop shopping, because anybody's going to want the show on the phone.
Joe, I hate to do it. We have to step away for a break. And Jeff, thank you for the call. We'll be back, folks, on the other side. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Joe Montaldo. He is the International Director for ICAR, and we've been talking about the apparent correlation between a person's blood type and the likelihood of being an abductee or contactee. Sometimes, Joe, this doesn't apply to everyone, but sometimes people listen with half their brain or with only one ear or with half an ear, and they hear what they want to hear.
That's true.
Not what you say. And so there are people, undoubtedly, who are saying, well, this guy is crazy because my blood is A positive and I've been abducted. And you've made it very clear. You're not saying that people with other types of blood types are not being abducted. What you're saying is there's an astounding high percentage who are Rh negative.
Yep. And you know, it is a shame, and it is something that's going to be an ongoing fact, too, because I've already gotten emails about it from people about, oh, well, you're saying we can't be contacted. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm saying there's a correlation between blood types and the aliens, and we don't know what it means.
Yeah, well, let me be politically incorrect, because you would be, you're going to be nice to these folks. Folks, grow up. Come on, listen. Listen to what's being said, not what you want to have been said. It's important. It's really important that you get it straight. And, you know, people listen with their emotions instead of their minds sometimes. And if you do that, you're going to crash every single time. You will get it wrong. And we want you to get it right. Some of you are angry because I've said that. Well, there you go. You're listening with your emotions, aren't you? And, you know, I just told you the truth. Listen with your mind and get it straight because this is important stuff. I'm baffled by this information. I'm baffled by what it means, this, you know, this high percentage that are Rh negative. I mean, is it, and I know you're somewhat baffled by it too, but the question that comes to me, Joe, is it because they are Rh negative that they are being abducted and, I mean, the high percentage are being abducted because there's something in the Rh negative that the aliens are interested in, or is the Rh, as you said, is the Rh negative a result of aliens interbreeding with humans, and the high number of abductions may just be to keep tabs on the grandchildren?
Well, you know, in a way, I think it's a combination, Kevin, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I'm thinking, yeah, we probably got the Rh originally from the aliens, but it does seem since then that they've, you know, and I shouldn't say this on the air, but we get contactees that all the time tell us that they feel like they've been guided or pushed towards an individual in their life, soulmate, whatever you want to call them. We'll find a lot of times that contactees will marry someone young, later on get divorced and marry another contactee or an experiencer and stay with them for life and have children. So sometimes it actually seems that not only are they tracking this, but they may even be kind of increasing the numbers, to say, or getting particular family groups together, because something we started tracking a long time ago is like a human contactee marrying a reptilian contactee and the children they have being abducted by the Greys. It gets really, really sticky really, really fast. But it does seem like that they are, at least in some ways, directing certain contactees in certain family lines in a certain direction. So it's been bothering me. And it's also bothering me that is the Rh positives from the original population of Rh positives, or are these Rh positives from originally from the Rh negatives after they interbred with the family? Is that something that they're trying to do themselves, introduce this into the Rh positive factor of our society? See, it's hard to know at this point.
Okay, if, boy, I wish we had more time. We're just almost out of time. If the aliens, if the, whether it was reptilians or human aliens, whoever they were, if they introduced the Rh negative into the stream of blood types here on this planet, if they did that, there had to be a reason why they did it. And so that's yet another mysterious question. Why? What's the deal? Why introduce that?
But, you know, now that we know that, and one of the things we've been doing for a long time is we will actually get a group of contactees, usually about anywhere from 20 to 50, how many we can get at the time, and usually across, you know, like greys, reptilians, and humans, and we will program this question into their head. And what we do is we have them every night before they go to bed repeat the question in their head, and what will happen is a lot of times when they're contacted, you know, the alien will telepathically contact them. A lot of times the abductee will send the question subconsciously without thinking about it. And a lot of times the aliens will answer the damn question. Sometimes there's consequences for it if you ask the wrong thing, but still. So that is a question I'm going to ask. You know, I'm going to have the contactee start asking, why are these blood types like this? Hopefully we'll start seeing some information flow out of that later this year. You got to be careful there, but still, you know, we're going to try and see what we can come up with. Because it's making me crazy at this point. And the more I look into this, the more questions it comes up for me. You know, are they deliberately manipulated? Do they need this Rh negative blood for something else? Are they trying to increase the Rh negative in our society so that maybe they can harvest it later on? Unfortunately, I do get these dark thoughts from time to time, you know. And so it worries me just a tad bit. Or is this something that they're introducing to help our society? At this point, there's just no way of knowing. But, you know, probably in a few months, maybe a year, I'll give you a call and we'll have to talk about this again because we'll have more data on it. But I can't see this study doing nothing but growing and answering some questions, but just exposing even more questions that we have to answer. But at least now we have some scientific basis. We, you know, when scientists and other people get involved and say, look, we have this base now, we know this. And now that we know this, other researchers can start looking. You know, I recently, I'm not going to mention their names because it takes a long time, a bunch of my fellow abduction researchers, which are all good researchers, and I think all of them have been on your show, I sent a letter out to them saying, look, why don't you start asking? Ask your contactees what blood types they have. You know, the more people we can get involved in this, the better. And sooner or later, I'll give Clifford a call over at MUFON and ask him to get involved in it. You know, I'm trying to give Clifford a little time to get his organization turned around and straightened out before we start harassing him about stuff. Well, you know, I did his first interview as head of MUFON. He's a good guy. I caught him on your show last night. You know, he is trying. So I want to give him a chance to try before I rip him up like I did James Carrion and John Slichter. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, he is a good guy, and one of the great things about this show and about the audience is they understand each person that comes on as a guest has their own point of view, and they present their information, and we're here to hear it all. And there's no one person that has a corner on the truth, but everybody's got a piece of it. And so, you know, we get a chance to hear from everybody. I want to thank you for being with us, Joe. A lot of folks don't know, but you got off of the air 5 minutes before you went on the air with us.
That's true, guys. But it's always a pleasure to do your show. Kevin, I always love doing your show.
Well, I appreciate